morning is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
We had a good group here this morning. We had a good group Friday night. If we ever wanted to rebrand this church, we'd call it Fellowship Baptist Church, because we've had a lot of fellowship Friday night, this morning, and more to come. So we look forward to that today. I know it's going to be hard for some of you to pay attention, because all you can do is smell the food in the back and say, come on, hurry up, I'm hungry. So we'll try to help you out there as best we can. Now, I don't make these arrangements, because we're just going through 1 Peter, and we finally made it to chapter 3, and as you can gather from the verses, we're talking about husbands and wives again. You know, we had that way back on Mother's Day, we talked about husbands and wives, and then Father's Day, we talked about husbands and wives, and here we are again. Not that we, you know, wearing out the subject, but maybe looking at it from a different angle, as 1 Peter did, and making some applications that you are familiar with, and also making some applications that you may not. So that's what this is all about today. So before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we come to you once again, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be listeners of your word, and then not just be listeners, but to be doers also, to take action on our marriages, to make changes if needs be, and if nothing else, to praise you for the marriage that we do have, the marriage that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the marriage that we have with our spouses, and that through all this, we can give you the honor and glory for all that's said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, talking about domestic harmony, I referred back to Rodney Dangerfield. Okay, Rodney Dangerfield talked about his amicable marriage with his wife. He said, we have a perfect arrangement. We go out twice a week. She goes out on Tuesday and I go out on Friday. And then Henny Youngman was a little more succinct when he said, take my wife, please. And so just a little bit different. But we laugh about these arrangements, but one thing is true. A wedding is one thing. A marriage is completely different. Now, Judy and I have been married for 51 years on this very platform. And if you were married sometime during the 70s, then your song of choice might have been The Carpenters, We've Only Just Begun. And so we reflect on that. Now, many of those years, we were classroom teachers, and we learned to grow and to go through difficulties, discover things, going through some tragedies and even some hurtful times, like when a school administrator or a pastor says, we don't need you next year. And those were hard times, but the Lord saw us through it. And so as we think about Peter, he was married. And in fact, he took his wife on many of his travels. Now, we talk about the issue of submission at the end of 1 Peter chapter 2. And submission is necessary because it brings honor to God. So in this section of 1 Peter, we're talking about marital harmony and how through the struggles, we are offered hope following the example of Jesus Christ. Now, for you guys, you can take it easy for the first six verses. We're not talking to you. But if you want to get the idea, okay, what's he talking about with my wife? Well, then, you know, tune in a little bit. So, guys, we don't need you for till verse 7. But, wives, we need you up front here because we're talking about some important things. In fact, all of it's important because it's God's word. So when we look at verse 1, we look at the word likewise. Now, it starts, likewise ye wives. And then in verse 7, it says, likewise ye husbands. So the focus here is to the wives in terms of what's being directed here, spoken of. So likewise, and we have to go back to chapter 2 because we have faithfulness in marriage as we do faithful in citizenship and government. Remember, that's what we were talking about the last time. So it says, wives, be submissive. Okay, and this means that we need to follow the lead in obedience. However, there is much to be said when it comes to being wives subject to physical or emotional abuse at the hands of husbands who do not show the love of Christ in their lives. I was mentioning to my wife, and I don't know if this fits your situation. When my parents were going to Baptist Church in Albany, New York, it was a 15-mile drive back home. And my parents got along beautifully. If you remember my folks, they were up here for 7 years and ministered in the church and so forth. But as I was growing up, some of the best battles they had were on the drive back home after church. And the only thing I can say about that is that was Satan's way of getting back at them for going to church, listening to God's word. And now it's like, okay, let's have this conflict and just cancel out everything that we heard during church. That's all I can figure, because otherwise they got along beautifully. And they were married for 51 years also. So there are some of you whose marriage is going along just fine. Others of you, you've got your challenges. So to endure abuse is not submission, but rather intolerable surrender. Now, for you ladies, here's how we're going to break it down. Okay, in verses 1 and 2, we're going to talk about analyzing your actions. In verse 3, to watch your adornment. Verse 4, check your attitude. And then in verses 5 and 6, evaluate your attention. So, with that thought in mind, let's back up to verses 1 and 2, analyzing our actions. So, Peter urges wives to analyze their actions. Sometimes a wife is kind of reverse in her thinking because her thought is, I'll be the kind of wife God wants me to be when George is the kind of husband God wants him to be. Does not always work that way, does it? Peter says wives are to be submissive even if your husband isn't obedient. So rather that the husband may be won, as it says, without a word or a wordless sermon because of the wife's behavior. We just, ladies, you just have to go about being the kind of wife God wants you to be, despite whatever your husband is. And that's a difficult thing to do. In verse 2, it refers to being chaste and respectful. Because we look at that word fear at the end of verse 2, and the word fear has with it the idea of being respectful. So we observe. We take a careful observation of what we're to do, and we have to have what is called a consistently virtuous character. Now, I know we're going back to Proverbs chapter 31 and so forth, the virtuous woman. And that's great, because that's what God expects of you, to be that virtuous woman and to have that unselfish spirit and a calm spirit all the while that you're living with this guy. Now, in verse 3, it talks about watching your adornment. Okay, and that word adornment is from the Greek word cosmos, which means cosmetics. Now, I also think of the word cosmos as being out of this world, but that doesn't mean you have to, you know, be out of this world. Just, you know, take care of yourself. So anything can be used to beautify or decorate. Cosmetics, jewelry, hairstyling. Dr. Bob Jones used to say, if the barn needs painting, go ahead and paint it. But sometimes the barn doesn't need painting, and we just go ahead and overdo it anyway. But here's the point. Ladies, you need to dress in such a way that you honor the Lord and not detract from the worship of Him. Now, what I mean is this, and we've seen this in churches, where a lady comes in, she's got her jewelry and so forth, and every time she moves her hands, you see these little reflections on the ceiling. And after a while, you're not paying attention to the message. You're watching them, you know, going back and forth. Now, that's not what we want in church. We don't want you to distract from the message, but rather, you know, choose your jewelry carefully. Choose your hairstyle carefully. You know, we don't want you to sit in front of somebody and they have to go like this or this because they can't see around your piled up hairstyle. So we have to be careful about how we dress, how we adorn ourselves, and so forth. Now, on the other hand, there are some who take out of context the approach of appearing plain. Now, not dressing very well, not wearing makeup if, you know, especially if they need to. And some may even come to the point of being unkempt and sloppy. Well, I mean, after all, I'm wearing my PJs because we're going to Walmart after the service. Or do we take the verse, the song that we're going to sing at the end of the service, just as I am, a little too far? So the idea is to dress appropriately and in good taste. Now, one thing you need to ask yourself, is dressing provocatively going to win over your husband? And, you know, the unfortunate thing is we take a lot of our cues from TV, movies, and so forth. Well, that certainly got his attention. Maybe I should dress that way. No, here again, you're dressing like the world does and not like the Lord would have you to dress. So you've got to be careful about that. In verse 4, it talks about checking your attitude. Now notice, if you will, the first word in verse 4 is but. And but is a contrasting conjunction, meaning to think about the internal attitudes of the heart rather than the outward adornment. Now the word heart here is from the Greek word cardia. Sounds familiar. Right? Cardiomobile, the thing where you can check your heart rate and all that stuff. Literally, the word cardia or heart means the source of one's true character. You know, there's that physical heart that we have, and then we also have a spiritual heart that can't be seen, but it comes out in our attitudes, in our actions. And whether your family is all grown up, you may have granddaughters, they need to be taught how to be modest and gentle and peaceful. I mean, they're going to grow up. You know, we've all went through our rebellious age when we were in teens and so forth, but at least give them that seed truth of dressing and acting how the Lord would have you to be. And if you act that way, you're going to attract the kind of fella that the Lord wants you to have. And so it works hand in hand. So a gentle, quiet spirit is precious in God's sight. Now in verses 5 and 6, we get to the Old Testament examples of holy women. Now I know you ladies have gone through, I think it was the book of Ruth and so forth. And biblical examples are great. And that's what we see here. Here we're able to see ladies to conduct themselves in humility, gentleness, and submission. Now, as I go through those characteristics of humility, gentleness, and submission, can you mentally check off those things in your mind as being a woman of humility, gentleness, and submission? Here, Sarah is used as the example of hopeful and holy submission. She showed her husband respect in her words and in her works without fear. Now, Sarah had a hard life as the wife of Abraham. They moved into a strange land. She was convinced by her husband to be her daughter. So Pharaoh temporarily took her to be his wife. And then later on, did the same thing with Abimelech, and Abimelech wanted Sarah to be his wife. But he followed her husband's lead to surrender grazing land to Lot. And then the ultimate, as you well know, she endured the near sacrifice of her only son, Isaac. Think about that. Oh, where are you two guys going? Oh, we're just going to go up the hill. We're going to have a sacrifice. We'll be okay. I mean, that's the kind of faith that Isaac had, you know. But I wonder if Sarah did. Now, here's some questions for you to think about, ladies, as you think about the example of Sarah. Am I looking to saints like Sarah as role models, or to daytime soaps and nighttime drama? You know, we always pick out that one person that's I like that person. I like the way they act. But is that person acting in the way that God would want you to act? Is my husband at the top of my prayer list? I know right now you're all thinking, Rain is at the top of my prayer list. Well, besides that, your husband should be at the top of your prayer list. Because a lot of what happens with your husband dictates, as we saw with Sarah, a lot of what happens with you as well. Do I put my husband first in my planning? Think about that. Do I look for ways to honor him? And then lastly, do I make his life easier or more difficult? You know, we talk about the physical part of love, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But there's also an emotional part of it, or a psychological part of love. And, you know, we can say to a certain degree, I know exactly which button to push to get him to do what I want him to do. But is that what it's all about? Pushing buttons? And that makes for a good marriage? We got to think about that. Okay, we're now down to verse 7. Husbands, wake up. Because now we're down to your likewise. And I got a whole page of things for you to think about as well. Husbands are given responsibilities to their wives. And this is real simple, okay? The ladies had 6 verses, but you guys just get 1. But here's what you need to think about, guys. That you have to live with your wife, that you have to know your wife, and that you need to honor your wife. And here again, as we were saying in verse 1, likewise means in the same manner, where your wife is going to be in subjection to you, give your wife the respect that she is due as well. So when we say love your wife, we're speaking of those same things, physically, emotionally, mentally, as well as spiritually. That's a tough bill. It's your responsibility, guys, and that's why you need to pray for your wife just as much as your wife prays for you. Now, if you're a business guy and you're gone quite a bit, you might say to yourself, well, I provide for my wife, but she doesn't need your money. She needs you. When it comes right down to it, your wife would rather have you than for you to go out and earn some extra money. Okay, secondly, we said know your wife. You know, there are intimate desires and personal needs, but you also need to assist her with issues. You know, when you get that wife and she's sitting there on the verge of tears and you say, what's wrong? Nothing. But if you've been married to your wife long enough, you know that there's something. And so you just have to humble yourself and put yourself in a place where you can listen to what your wife's needs are. Treat your wife as the weaker vessel. Okay? Now, you could liken your life, fellas, to a football. You know, rough and tough and kick the ball and all that stuff. But think of your life's wife, or your wife's life, as a vase. You know, it used to be the rock and the pitcher. I forget which Disney movie it was. You know, whether the rock hits the pitcher or the pitcher hits the rock, it's always bad for the pitcher. And so, as much as you're rough and tough, your wife is that much gentle. And you need to handle her as such. And of course, knowing your wife means handling the issues of pregnancy, childbirth, and motherhood. There's a certain amount of physical care and protection. And yes, guys, we will never know the idea of having a life within ourselves the way a wife does. We'll never experience the childbirth. I've heard it said that childbirth is kind of like when you used to have those little vent windows in your car. Try squeezing yourself through that vent window, and then you kind of get an idea what childbirth is like. What about grandchildren? Do you look forward to having your grandchildren over, or is it hold your breath until they leave and hope they don't break anything? Enjoy your grandchildren. Take them to Polar Tree. Let them eat all the gooey stuff. Enjoy their time together. Because the memories you have with your grandchildren are what they're going to remember when you're gone from this earth. It's very important. And then there's those times when you have to make a choice. We have 2 hours. No, not back there, but 2 hours. Okay, play with me here. Your wife has a 2-hour movie she would like to watch. You have a sports program that lasts 2 hours. Okay, do you watch the movie? Well, you know, I don't like those gooey movies, you know, those rom-coms where, you know, they always have a conflict and then they kiss and make up at the end and all that stuff. That's just not for me. Well, what do you think if you're watching a sports event? You think your wife is into that sporting event? Well, see, it works both ways. Sometimes we sacrifice one for the other. I mean, I always thought, you know, I can survive the movie because even if I don't watch the game, it's going to be on SportsCenter the next day for 100 times, the highlights over and over and over. And you're okay. You'll live. You know, the Red Sox will play another day and so forth. So, number 3, honor your wife. You are equal partners in marriage. So what I'm going to ask you to do are some things here. And you may do them. You may get together with your wife and kind of think about these after the service or when you get home. Think about four qualities that you admire in your wife or in your husband. Four qualities. I know that's pretty tough doing, because it's like I have a hard time after number one, and you know the other three are going to be awful hard. But think of four qualities that you admire. Next, think of four things that you would like your spouse to work on. Ladies, four things that you would like your husband to work on. Husbands, four things that you would like your wife to work on. Ooh, there again. Some of you might say, well, I can find more than four things. Just stick with four. Number three, if you need to, find a mentor. In other words, here's a couple who seemingly has it all together, and you know, you bring them over for a half gallon of fellowship. You know, that means ice cream. And it's like, how do you guys do it? How do you make your marriage work? And just find another couple and, you know, bounce some ideas off them in terms of how to make your marriage a better marriage. And of course, the fourth thing is to pray for one another, whether you pray secretly or you pray together. That person sitting next to you, if your husband or wife is here today, is most important to you. Now, some of you are dealing with spouses that are not saved. And if that's the case, you've been praying for that person for a long time. But the thing we need to keep in mind is this. Those marriage vows that you made said, till death do you part. So what happens? Will you ever see that person again in heaven? I know, we kind of put the clamps on it and say, I got to get him saved, got to get him saved. But all those other things that we mentioned at the top of 1 Peter 3 are the things that are going to help him get him saved. And so that's kind of how we have to look at it. Now, here again, as we think about things in my repertoire of past events, I always used to remember Paul Harvey, right? Paul Harvey, good day, you know? I used to love that stuff because he went for like 15 minutes, about from 12 to 12:15 in the afternoon. And one segment he had were couples that were married for 50 years or more. And he'd say, you know, this couple is on the way to forever together. And so he would go through that. And, you know, there's so much truth to that. As you sit here today and as you leave here today, you are on your way to forever together. How's it going to be? Are you going to be united? One chord of one mind, or should we sing "The fight is on, O Christian soldier"? It's up to you. It's that heart that beats within you, not the physical heart, but the spiritual heart. What do you want from your marriage? What do you want from your spouse? There are ways that you can go about doing that if you ask God to help you. Let's pray.